You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I'm your co-host, the Sly One, Jordan Fox. And with me today is the Pick'em King himself, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, bro?
Nothing much. It's like we were just talking about. It's very easy to pick WWE pay-per-views. Just decide what is would be awesome and popular. And then pick the opposite thing.
If my calculations are correct, you win 5-3. And that is with us tying on two of them. So I just went ahead and gave us both a notch on that, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
If we just took out the ties, then you still win 3-1. So I just put 5-3. I don't know why. But anyway, you got two more right than me, which is, that's a W. That's the W, bruh. What'd you think of the show, man? What'd you think of Evolution?
Evolution definitely gave it an A. Thought the show was really good. I mean, really amazing, especially for a WWE product. I think they made a lot of right decisions, and the best thing is that they just focused on the in-ring action. There was not a lot of backstage stuff. It was just, you know, focused on the two people going at it, and I just think everyone did a great job. I mean, there was some spots, of course, that everyone could point out, but other than that, like I said, other than that, I mean, if you're not super picky, you know, it was a really great show. It was very entertaining. I felt like that was one of the best battle royals I've ever watched because it never got to that boring slog.
Yeah, like yeah, I don't know the correct word for it, but yeah, like that little kind of like 12-8, or not really 12-18, but maybe 18-24, somewhere around there. Like in the Royal Rumble, it kind of starts to slow down a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and people just sometimes it just feels like people are standing around,
yeah,
waiting on the next thing to happen. So.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you, dude. I thought the show was great, man. I thought it was really good. I've read a bunch of stuff, and it kind of contradicts some of the stuff that I said last week about there being ticket sales. I listened to WrestleNomics Radio, and I read a report from, was it 411 Mania? Anyway, I read a report, and they kind of corrected themselves, and they said that they earlier reported they were having problems with the sellout, and they said that updated numbers showed that they were only like 260 tickets away from completely selling out, and the people that were having problems selling tickets was the ticket scalpers, like, you know, the people that go in and buy a bunch of tickets and then resell them at higher than face value.
Yeah,
they said that the show technically sold out for almost sold out for WWE, but ticket scalpers took a loss on the show. And I was trying to think, did WWE ever mention the attendance? Do you remember if they mentioned the attendance?
They never said the exact number. They just called it a sellout.
Okay, they did call it a sellout, though?
Yes.
Well, good for them. Good for them, dude. I'm glad to, so that mean, I'm glad to see that the first women's pay-per-view was a sellout to WWE, because that means, you know, the likelihood that they have another one in the future goes up, right? I mean, theoretically.
Not even, not even likely. She Stephanie just said definitely.
Oh, okay.
Stephanie, right before the show, did a little press, and she said there will definitely be more of these.
I like it. I like it a lot, dude.
My whole thing, if they don't have their own show, to me, this is just, like I said, this is just my thing. If they don't have their own show, this should stick to once a year.
Once a year?
Yeah.
Now, if they went to where they had a weekly show, even if it was like a one-hour show or something like that, how many do you go up? Do you go up to like six a year?
I go to 4 to 6. I think that way about WWE, about all major companies. I don't think you should have more than six big shows.
Six big shit, like,
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to do a weekly TV show.
Right.
And you do six big shows, that means you're still getting good matches during the week.
I got
you. As opposed to how WWE does, and they have like 14 shows, they're always building to the next show, and you can't help but get repetitive.
I got you. That makes sense. So you think that if WWE dropped down to 6 to 8, that we would have a more compelling weekly show?
Yes.
That makes sense.
And I think they should, they should have more enhancement matches. And, you know, and like last night, like when you get certain people, like Apollo Crews and Dolph, mm-hmm. right? There's no reason, like, Dolph has to win in a minute and a half. You know what I mean? Give them time to work. And if you make your roster look, like, really even, when a person does get a dominant victory, it really does work as opposed to just speeding through a match.
Right, right. You'll have more of that, wow, that was a good match, and he pulled it off, rather than, it was another two-minute match again.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get your point. So did you have a favorite match at WWE Evolution?
I would love to go against the grain and be like, yep, it was this match. But no, it was Charlotte and Becky.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I gave the match 5 stars. My first women's match I've ever given 5 stars.
What?
I just thought it completely stole the show. I thought everything was good on the show, but it was head and shoulders above the rest. It was first, and then everything else was like fighting for a second, like way back.
Yeah, I agree that match was number one, who am I kidding? The second best match of the night, I felt like, was a distant second, but would you say that there was a bad match on the card, or would you all put them above, like, if you got that threshold for it was a, you know, you have a threshold for decent, and then good, and then probably really good and great.
Yes, like, Joe Lanza coined the term the gentleman's three. That's what you give to a match that's fine, and I don't think anything got less than a gentleman's three.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And when you're thinking about a pay-per-view with 7 matches on it, that's pretty awesome. Because you think about it, on every WWE pay-per-view, you get a clunker. And the fact that you didn't have a really bad pay-per-view.
Yeah. Match. Yeah, I would definitely agree. Do you have a least favorite match on the card?
I mean, the Lita-Trish match.
The which one?
The Lita-Trish versus...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that point where Trish had hit the Stratisfaction, and the referee was going, and he literally was about to count to three, and he had to stop. So, because Alicia Fox missed the breakup.
Yeah. How's she been there that long still that
bad? I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, you're working with different people. I understand. Like, Foxy I like, because she, you know, I can say she messed that up, but there's not many other times that I can point out where she messed up. The timing was off on the little match, but I just felt like Trish and Lita were significantly slower.
Oh, yeah.
Than Lita and Alicia Fox, and you could, then Mickey James and Alicia Fox, and you could tell that they were slowing down for them.
Right, right. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It makes sense. Makes total sense. What did you think about the Mae Young Classic Finals, man. That was the we know what you think about the Trish Stratus and Lita, which was the opening match.
I thought that was the match of the night, and I didn't think anybody was going to beat it at the time when I was watching it. I gave it a solid 4, which, you know, that's impressive. And I thought, you know, they did a really good job. Tony and EO both did a good job. I watched every match in the Mae Young Classic, and I honestly wasn't impressed with Io Shirai. I've been hearing how amazing she was, but I don't know if it was the size of the ring, nerves or whatever, and the fact that they shot all the things in 2 days, she was off to me, and she was a little, I don't know if she was slow, but it came off weird, and this was her best match by far.
Oh, so you're talking about throughout the whole tournament, you thought she was a step slow.
Like, yeah. But, oh, really? You know, think about it, and let me make sure this is clear. The tournament was shot in two days.
Right.
And I think that was her first real wrestling for the WWE. So let's just, you know, you're in the business, so, you know, let's just say you're doing something wrong, right?
Right.
And you're not able to look, I mean, they're not able to look back at the tape because they're shooting it so quickly.
Right.
You're going to keep doing that thing wrong until you can go look at the tape. And it was clear that, you know, that's what it felt like happened in the Mae Young. Like, she missed her moonsault, like, every time. And this is just an example. And then when she was going for the moonsault on Toni Storm, if you watch the Mae Young Classic, you'll look, and she was about one. She moved Toni Storm about a foot further away. So she was going to hit her moonsault cleaner.
Right.
So
right.
She learned. She just, like, normally on a tournament, you get to shoot a match, then you can watch it back and be like, oh, well, I need to adjust this and just this. You didn't really have that time at the Mae Young Classic because you shot all your matches in 2 days.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, there's usually, you know, when you come into somewhere new, I seen it even down at Heroes of Wrestling where they wanted a different type of commentary than I was giving them. I was giving them more of a, you know, just like a calm statistical type commentary. And they were like, no, we want you to be like yourself, like loud, annoying, and like Jerry Lawler to our Jim Ross. And so I was able to go watch the tape and then give them that this week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like you're saying, in her situation, she, you know, like, she had a match, and then most likely, you know, if the whole tournament was shot over 2 days, like, she was right back out there within a few hours probably having another match, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so she really didn't have time to probably plan out, you know, what she was doing wrong, and then go over a problem and plan on the fix, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I was just like. It was like, I'm like, I'm not making excuses for her. She's grown, but I'm just like, that's just my wrestling eye. It's just like, okay, you get through with the match, you're back there in the back trying to put together your next match with the other person. You can't worry about what you did in the previous match. You don't have time for that.
Right.
But once you get done and you have the tape and it on the network, you can be like, okay, I can clean that up. I can clean that up. And she had a good amount of time, and it looks like she cleaned up a lot of her things.
I got you. Yeah, it makes sense. Makes total sense. What about the 6-man tag match, man? Did you think it was just a run-of-the-mill tag match, or you think it was anything?
No, I thought they did a really good job of getting the Riot Squad over as strong.
Yes.
They really pushed the Riot Squad and make them really look good, and it made it look like it made Sasha and Bayley and Natalya look so much better because it took so much for them to come back.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was I don't really care much for 6-man tag matches or
I hate them.
Yeah,
I hate multi-man matches. I always have, always will. I thought Liv Morgan was kind of the MVP of the match with her selling, and she's gotten a lot better in the ring. And I hate putting that over just because it almost feels like I'm patting her on the head, but I'm not. Because, you know, we get so much down on people when they do something, you know, wrong. and we don't do something we don't like. I'm really trying to say, I've noticed that she's put in the work and she's improved.
Absolutely. I totally agree. The Battle Royal, man, neither one of us got it right.
You know, let me say, I'm not going to second guess. I had my plan in my head and I went with it. But if I really thought about it, you know, Ronda's going to need a challenger to get to Mania. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and, you know, so that being said, who actually poses a threat to her? It's probably Nia Jax. I just thought it was going to be a SmackDown person that won.
Right. Yeah.
But I love that they brought, you know, they basically re-enabled Nia's push after a little few injury problems, and that's good.
I still, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Nia Jax. I love what she does. I love what she stands for. But I still think that either one of our picks would have been the better match. But maybe they're holding that off until closer to Mania because it would be more of a technical match. You and I, of course, you went with Asuka. I went with Ember Moon. And like you just said, Nia Jax obviously won it all. So, That's one where I still would have went with what we talked about.
I like that they just made her clean over Nia Jax. Over Ember Moon, it was like, I am bigger than you. The bigger person win. It was so funny. After the match, we got so many comments on our group. The big person actually won. And it was just like, the biggest person has the same likelihood of winning as the smallest person in a Rumble or in a Battle Royal, because they're so obvious. The bigger person is usually used to get the smaller person over. So the bigger person never wins these type of matches. So it was kind of cool to see Nia just, you know, I'm tall, nobody can actually get me over. So cool.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Moving on to Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler. This is one that I actually got right. I picked Shayna Baszler. You picked Kairi Sane. Baszler ends up going over on this one. What'd you think of the match?
I thought, you know, I picked Baszler because I thought I picked her to lose because I thought she was going up.
Right.
I was very happy that Baszler won this match. You know, she's one of my favorite wrestlers. I'm living in a world where all my favorite wrestlers, favorite women wrestlers, are champions. So that's good. But as far as the match, I honestly thought it was really similar to their last match. And I'm not saying it's bad. They put on great matches. It just felt like similar. But the closing stretch was different, which I did dig.
And now when you mean the closing stretch, do you mean that where two of the other four horsewomen got involved?
Yeah, from the moment Kairi threw Shayna into them, because they hadn't got involved up until that point.
Gotcha.
She threw Shayna into them, that whole section after that closing section, I thought was really strong, and it made Kairi Sane look really, really strong. Those backhands are amazing.
Yeah, they are, dude. They look like they freaking hurt.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to take one of those.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. What are the two girls, the two females' names again? I always have to ask you this.
The tall one's Jessamyn Duke. The one that generally wears like the high-waisted pants and the tucked-in shirt, that's Marina Shafir.
And that is Roderick Strong's fiance or girlfriend,
yes,
or whatnot.
Yeah. I think she had a kid like less than a year ago.
Okay. Both of them are phenomenal athletes. I've actually never seen either one of them wrestle, but everything that I've read, you know, like all the reports, they're working the house show loop right now for NXT, I believe, and I've read on multiple different websites that they are just absolutely phenomenal athletes. If they're anything like their two friends, Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey, I mean, they're probably freaks of nature, because those two females are like some of the best pro athletes on the face of the earth, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler.
They all, they all have UFC contracts, and they don't just give those out.
Yeah, those things don't go up for free. Those things don't grow on trees, right?
Yeah, that means you can fight, because Dana White's pretty picky.
Next, we had Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair. This is one that you got right. What did you think of this match, right? Chia.
It was funny. Okay. So, the beginning segment, the opening segment, the video segment, they literally piped in booze on Becky.
Did they really?
Like, if you listen to the reaction, like, when she was dealing with Edge and Charlotte, they piped it. They changed all the cheers to boos.
Oh, you're talking about on the...
The vignette.
Yeah, the build-up video.
Yeah. And then, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, they turned all the cheers to boos. So they really... And then if you heard Michael Cole, he was really driving home that she was a heel. But I'm like, if you listen to the match, Charlotte, when she came out, woo! And then you hear the little cheer. Becky came out. She got the loudest pop of the night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't... Does it... Well, let me ask you this. Does it bother you when they pipe in booze like that on, like, the promo videos and opening videos and stuff?
No, because to me, their job is to tell a story.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
In her mind, she was a heel. But it's one of those things. It looked like they were coming around. And I felt like that was a step back, because it's like, it looks like they were coming around. And then Becky, like, put up a post, you know, with her and the belt, and she's like, I thought I had to go on this journey without the fans, and then you came with me. And that's truly what happened, is that they built the storyline for her to go heel and say, screw the fans. And the fans like, oh, you're going heel? We're going heel with you. Let's go.
Right, right. I like it. Yeah, I when it comes to those build-up videos and stuff like that, if they have to, if they want to do stuff like that to tell a story, like you just talked about, adding booze to something that Becky did when she got cheered and stuff because she's the heel, I'm totally cool with that, because they're trying to tell that opening story. Basically, I'm just repeating what you just said right there.
Yeah, but yeah, their job, that's their job. I mean, that's what they tell stories. So it's like, the story we came out to tell is that Becky was the bad person. We're not, like, I can understand them not completely changing their story just because fans are cheering it, because fans cheer weird shit. You don't know. Somebody turns heel, you don't know if everybody's going to boo the person for turning heel or cheer him because they hate the face guy. It's like Becky is one of those people, like I stated from the very beginning, and it's, they're just proving me right every week. She's untouchable.
Right, right.
Fans are going to cheer her no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the only thing that you could do to make her heel is kind of make her Stephanie McMahon's pet.
Ooh. Oh, God, don't you know that would be so bad?
But they would make it, that's what would turn her heel.
Right, right.
If she started doing Stephanie McMahon's bidding and, like beat up on somebody else that they love because Stephanie said so.
Right.
Yeah, that's how you could turn her heel. But that's how you turn people heel in WWE. You make them the corporate person.
That's true.
Becky was like, she was going anti-everything, and everybody loves anti.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she was beating up Charlotte, who Charlotte's kind of Roman Reigns, John Cena. She's the woman version of that. She's been 7-time champ in like 3 years. People are tired of her being champ, you know?
Right.
So being tired of being forced to how great she is down their throat. And, you know, so that being said, so yeah, Becky was new. She was fresh. People love Becky. Becky's nice. She's lovable. She takes times and take pictures with her fans no matter where she is and when she, what she's doing. Seriously, she's the best meet. I don't meet people more than once. I've met her 7 times.
Really?
I mean, I'm just saying that should tell you everything you need to know. Becky makes standing in line worth it, because you get your time with her. She's nice. She gives you your attention, that kind of thing. So this whole thing, her building this fan base, it this is not just fans giving the middle finger to the management. No, Becky has earned this love.
She's got that clout with her fan base. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the fans love her. I have never met anyone that met Becky Lynch and then absolutely come away like, oh, she's one of my favorite wrestlers now.
That's cool. Did you see the video on Twitter when she got to her hotel room later on?
Yes, I did.
And everyone's just like, everyone's chanting her name and stuff, and you see her walking through and she's taking time to take selfies with all the fans and everything like that. That's super cool.
Yeah, she's super over. It's like, I was, the first time I met her, I was at an airport. It was the NXT group, and I was waiting to take the picture. And I was waiting for them all to get over there so I could just get one big picture. And she was the one that said, yeah, come on, bud, you know, get it. And she told everybody to get in line to take the picture. I'm not saying no one was refusing, but she was the one that just kind of gathered everybody together in the one picture. And it's just like, I mean, I came away with a lot of positive impressions that day. A lot of the women in that picture are people I root for, because they're great wrestlers, honestly, because they were really nice to me.
Right, right. That's really cool, man.
Yeah, so that's what I'm like. Think about that. She's been so good to her fans that they won't let her be heel.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. That's a really good point. Now, you mentioned, let's talk about Charlotte for just a second. You mentioned that some people are getting kind of tired, you know, she's been champ 7 times in 3 years, that it kind of gets thrown down our throats just how good she is and stuff. But if we flip that over, you know, a lot of people, and I've even mentioned this before, that people are saying that she's kind of the female Roman Reigns. But in my eyes, she's every bit as good as they say. Where, like, as if we look at Roman Reigns, and I'm not, you know, trying to speak ill of Roman Reigns, but I don't think his in-ring talent matches the push that he gets. Where Charlotte, I do think the in-ring talent matches that. So I guess what my question is going to be to you is, do you think when Charlotte moves on from this storyline, if they put her in a face position against another heel that's not named Becky Lynch, does she still get booed, or does she go back to being a fan favorite?
Unfortunately, Charlotte's the Patriots, and what killed her character was the whole Sasha Banks thing where they were just trading titles for like 6 months. It really did kill her character because she was saying 2-time champ, 3-time champ, 4-time champ, you know, 5-time champ, and they were just adding. It was like, man, they're determined to get her to 16. If Charlotte just had like a year title run, like when she first got the title, if she just held it from like WrestleMania to the next WrestleMania, and maybe Sasha won it at that WrestleMania or whatever, I think she would have just kept putting on solid matches, kept putting on great matches. She would have that respect. But because she was in the first ever this, first ever that, it was everything, you know what they were doing. It was like every week during the beginning of the Evolution, everything was like for the first time ever, Hell in a Cell, first time ever, Falls Count Anywhere, first time, and people just got sick of it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, she's super talented. She's probably top 3 best women's wrestlers in the WWE right now. I am not saying she's not. It's just how she was marketed, how she was booked, it was very much shove her down your throat.
I see your point.
Every meeting, every press conference, every red carpet, Charlotte's already there. And when you have favorites like Sasha, Becky, Bayley, and they were presented as the four horsewomen, and they were presented as all on the same level, and you see that one clearly gets the pub, and you know, I think Sasha's just as good as Charlotte as far as in ring, but Charlotte's last name is Flair,
right?
In WWE, being the marketing that they are, being smart, they like a name that the media that don't watch a lot of wrestling can recognize, and Flair is a name that they recognize.
Why do you think that people have grown tired of Charlotte And I certainly don't mean everyone. You know, I mean, you know, some people have obviously not grown tired of Charlotte. But why do you think that there is a set of people out there that have grown tired of Charlotte? But on the flip side, if you look at her dad, they didn't grow tired of her dad over like three decades. Is it because we see Charlotte so much?
Social media.
We see her when it comes to the internet and the network. Like, she's on our TV like 3-4 days a week, where you would see Ric Flair maybe, you know, 18 times a year unless you were going to live events.
Yeah, it's social media.
Social media?
It's just the inundation of information and facts and opinions. The cycle that it takes people to get tired of something is a lot quicker than it used to be. You know?
Right.
It was like the Lakers and Celtics were in the finals. Like, one of them were in the finals every year in the 80s. No one had a problem with that. They loved the Lakers dynasty. They loved Boston's dynasty. Now, if a team gets to the championship 2 or 3 times, I'm tired of seeing that team in the championship. So it's just the period goes. Sorry. You get more attitude. You get, and it's not like a vocal minority thing. You have 10 people, right?
Uh-huh.
And 9 are perfectly fine with Charlotte being champion, and one guy hates it. Who's gonna message more out of those Twitter followers?
Oh, definitely the person that dislikes them.
The person that dislikes Charlotte is going to message twice as much as the other 9 combined that are okay. So the voice that everyone's going to be hearing on Twitter is the negative voice. And then, you know, maybe one Monday Charlotte wins and you think somebody else should have won. Oh, I see what that guy's talking about. And that seed, you know, it's like he's planted, or whoever the guy or girl is, has planted so many seeds that you can start turning people against. It's like most people don't think they have a voice. My voice doesn't matter. It does. Because let's say you influence somebody that's more of an influencer, that's what happens. So the cycle of people getting tired of people, he gets tired. It happens really quick. Hogan had a 5 or 6 year run, and literally they didn't start getting tired of him until the early 90s.
Yeah, right? I think 1990, Yeah.
Today's age, he might have got a year
yeah.
of winning every time.
Yeah, if you remember John Cena, after just 1 year, that he won. He beat JBL in the Last Man Standing match, right, or the I Quit match.
Yeah.
And he had the title for about a year, and already at the end of that year, he went up against Triple H, and Triple H was supposed to be the heel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And Cena, it was like wholesale rejection. John Cena was getting booed coming out.
Yep, and it's just, you get, now, like I said, Hogan, you get, he would have got 3 matches. If he ended up with 3 punches, a boot, and a leg drop, by the 3rd match in the social media, oh, God, all his matches are the same. It's only happened 3 times. Yep, every match he's ever done is the same now. That's how social media is.
It's true. It is true.
It's like, but he did the same thing for 7 years back when there was no internet, and it worked.
Yeah.
But now, no, he'd have 2 minutes.
That's a good point, dude. I mean, you're making all valid points.
Yeah. So Flair, Flair. Oh God, how many times? If he goes over the turnbuckle all the time, why doesn't that guy just catch him before he comes back? You know, it would happen 3-4 times before. Oh God, I'm just so sorry. You get that guy that I'm so sick of seeing that. I'm sick of Leo Rush. Like, Leo Rush has only been on TV like 6 weeks. People are like, oh, I'm so sick of Leo Rush.
He does the same thing all the time.
Yeah, exactly. They don't understand. That's what a gimmick is. A gimmick is something you do all the time.
It's a good point, man. So what about, all we got left now is the main event, and that was Ronda Rousey beating Nikki Bella. We both picked Ronda Rousey to win this match. What'd you think of the match?
Oh, it went off exactly how I said it was going to go off, like, to the spot.
Right.
To the Brie Bella pushing her into... I think I even said Brie Bella was going to push her into the post.
I think you did, actually.
I like, to the spot. And then Nikki was dominant. Then Ronda got pissed, and she beat up both of them and tapped them out. And it was great. And I'm not going to, you know, and that's what I'm like. I'm like, Ronda right now is in her groove. She is learning to... She's still learning a little bit about crowd control and all that stuff. And you can see a bit of the showmanship towards the end of the match. And she talks a lot. She talks the whole match, which I think is pretty cool. Whenever she's on offense, she's always talking at the person. And I think that's pretty cool. Very Piper-esque.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So it went off exactly how I thought it was going to go off. I thought Nikki did a really good job. I honestly can't say anything bad about Nikki's performance. All I can say is stuff good. I'm not a Bella's fan, but, you know, I think I need to be objective, and I thought she did a really good job. I think she made Ronda look as strong as Ronda was supposed to look.
Do you not think that Ronda might have sold a little bit too much for Nikki Bella? Because I felt like, in my opinion, there was a good little stretch that Nikki was on top that was unnecessary.
She got thrown into the pole 3 times.
Okay, so you think it's easy to contribute it to that and say, yeah. Well, if it wasn't for Nikki throwing her in the pole and Brie throwing her into the pole, then she never would have been on the underhand of things?
Yeah, and every time she looked like she was about to start, Brie would get involved. It was just, it was very much a 2-on-1 handicap match.
Gotcha.
So that being said, I mean, I was happy with Ronda selling. Because, seriously, it's like, if she doesn't sell... I mean, her matches are going to get very, very boring.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean,
beating people in a minute and a half works in the UFC, does not work in the WWE.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. You know, if I wasn't complaining about Ronda selling too much to Nikki, I'd be complaining that, you know, like I always do on Raw and SmackDown about matches being sub 4 minutes, you know?
Yeah, because that match, I mean, them faced up against each other, straight up, that match should be 45 seconds.
It's so true.
Yes, but, you know, with the twin magic and all that kind of stuff, it should be a lot, you know, you can make it a lot more competitive. So, I mean, I think they did what they had to do. I truly believe this was the right main event. I mean, I would have liked Charlotte and Becky in my pure wrestling heart. I would have liked Charlotte and Becky to be the main event. But, you know, I mean, Ronda has her fan base.
Right.
Nikki's has the biggest fan base in the WWE, period. I was throwing out numbers. On Instagram, Ronda has 11 million followers. The Bellas together have like 7.6 million followers.
Oh, really?
The next WWE chick is at like 3 million.
Wow.
On Twitter, the numbers are even more egregious. Twitter, actually, the Bellas and Ronda are right there together. And then you have to go down to like 3.1. They're like right at the 7-8 million mark, and you have to go down to 3.1 before you get the first WWE chick.
Wow!
So their following is massive. They are the most popular women in the WWE, and people say it has to do with Total Divas, Total Bellas. How it doesn't matter. The Bellalution, as they call it. I mean, you saw girls flat out dressed as Nikki Bella. More people cosplay Nikki Bella and Brie Bella than anyone.
Right.
You know, when you're looking at the pictures online, their fan base is bigger than everybody else's. She should have been in the main event.
Yeah, I would probably have to agree. If for no other reason, then because this is the first all women's pay-per-view that the WWE has done anyway. And, I think they were kind of banking on some women, that don't normally just watch wrestling, maybe buying the pay-per-view or signing up for the WWE Network to watch this. And how else better to get those fans to come over than to put in the two main event the two absolute, or rather three, most mainstream stars in the Bella Twins and Ronda Rousey. Now, from the wrestling fan in me, and you would probably agree with this, the wrestling fan in me wants to see Becky and Flair on the top of that ticket, hands down.
Absolutely. It's like, but like me, I wasn't flying there. I wasn't flying to New York. I want to, but if I had to make a decision between All In and Evolution, it was going to be All In all the time.
Right.
I had a lot of women friends that flew to New York because they're Bella people.
Really?
And yeah, I had a friend that literally went that day, went to the show, slept in the airport, and flew home in the morning.
Wow.
Bella fans, that's what they do. And they're all so tight. You know, they have their Bella army, and it's a true thing. They're staying the night with each other, staying at hotels, going to eat, going to get in line. They had a Bella, what was it called? Oh, good Lord, the things that they have for football teams. What is it called? No. Pep rally.
Oh, Hell, really?
They had a Bella pet rally before the show, and they had like everybody there, and they was like thousands of people showed up for that.
What they're the super, hell?
They're super over. I mean, I might not like them, but they're money.
Yeah, that's obvious. I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah, it's like their numbers as far as every week, it's like 200,000 people watch their show. But where they really kill is on demand. People are always, you know, are binge watching the Bellas, Total Divas, Total Bellas. They're binge watching those shows. Nia Jax's profile has went up since she's got on that show, and how she's friends with the Bellas, and she's going to get popular just by being friends with them. Natalya has a huge fan base because of that too.
Really? See, I didn't even think about that. I see the commercials for Total Divas and Total Bellas, but I didn't even think about that. I was just applying it to the Bellas.
Would you think Natalya would have 3 million followers?
No.
No, like, I would never think that. She does, because she's on that show.
Wow. I wonder, how many does Two Paws have? Do you know?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do not follow any wrestlers' animals' accounts. But I do follow the wrestler. And they tell you to go to their account a lot. I'm like, first of all, yesterday was, let me just say, I think it was yesterday. Yesterday was National Cat Day.
Right,
and I
right.
just want to say from myself, cats are stupid, dogs are
real. Oh, my God. Oh, man. So, overall, dude, you gave it an A, right?
Dude, it was a really good show. I actually have watched I watched Toni Storm and Io Shirai match again because I was actually, like, the whole thing about working Sunday sometimes, I get off at 7, which is an hour into the show. So, I'm driving home, and I kind of, this is not something, no one should ever do this.
Uh-oh, don't get yourself in trouble.
I got my cell phone on the dashboard, and I'm watching it as I'm driving.
Oh, no.
No one should ever do it. You should do it. And don't do it. It's horrible, and it's stupid. It's really, really dumb. No one should ever do this. But I was doing it.
That's bad.
Do as I say, not as I do. And I was like, oh, I kind of missed half the match because, you know, I was, you know, driving and watching the road. So the next morning I watched it back and I was like, man, that really was a good match.
Yeah, it really was, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah. So, don't do that. Don't ever do what I just did. But, yeah, it was a really good match. But, yeah, get to where you're going and then watch TV.
Well, man, I think that is the show for today. I think tomorrow, which will be Halloween, right? Wednesday, October 31st, 2018.
All Hallows Eve. Yes.
We'll be back together to cut up Raw and SmackDown for tomorrow. And if you're cool with that.
Yes, I will be in my costume tomorrow as a non-crazy WWE fan.
Is that what your costume's going to be?
I mean, honestly, I work at night and no one ever sees me, so it's whatever I can say it is. I'll be in my same clothes. I'll be in my same clothes and just not yelling so much.
I love it, dude. I love it. Well, I appreciate it. We're gonna have a packed amount of shows this week, or all of our shows this week are gonna be packed. We've already talked about Evolution. We're gonna talk about Raw and SmackDown. We're gonna talk about what we're not gonna be watching at the Crown Jewel. We're gonna talk about the two indie shows that I worked over the weekend. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm gonna be as involved with the Crown Jewel as John Cena is.
You like how they just kind of wrote him off? Like, he's got some clout, doesn't he? He just told Vince, like, hey, I ain't doing that shit, bro.
But this is what it came down to. He has a movie to promote. Bumblebee comes out in December.
Right.
You know, and he just wants it to be about the movie. If he shows up, like, let's just say Jinder Mahal goes to Saudi Arabia. Nothing said. John Cena is such a multi-star. If he does it, everyone's going to ask him the question. Now no one's going to ask him the question.
Yeah. Yeah. Jinder Mahal has not taken part in movie releases and, press buildup for movies and all that stuff. John Cena is. He's working on multiple things.
And a lot of people still consider him the face of the WWE.
Absolutely.
And now he doesn't have to answer those questions. And him succeeding does more for the WWE than him showing up to Saudi Arabia. Because once he succeeds and he becomes rich, they can say The Rock. Now they can say John Cena. You come be a WWE. They can get some of the best talent to come be WWE wrestlers. Because come be WWE wrestlers. And you give us your 10 or 15 years. And then you can go make it in Hollywood. Right. We're going to give you the tools to make it in Hollywood. That's a great recruiting pitch.
No doubt. No doubt whatsoever, man. And we're going to touch more on that later on in the week. Can't wait to get your thoughts on that. Well, I guess we'll, like you said, we're going to have about as much involvement with watching the Crown Jewel as John Cena will in being in a match there. So,
yeah, the real American Hulk Hogan says he's been asked to go.
Not surprising at all. Well, we will definitely be seeing what he's going to be doing in Saudi Arabia here pretty soon, and you best believe we'll be talking about that on the show, huh?
Definitely, definitely. Because there's going to be gifts. I ain't even got to go to WWE. There's going to be gifts. There's going to be videos. People are going to share things. Like I said, me missing this show almost means nothing, because probably within clips and gifts, I'm going to see the majority of it anyway.
Right, right. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, Floyd, tell us where you spend your weekends at, my man.
Around the ring on Facebook and Twitter, Around the Ring OK. Show drops Sunday at noon. We actually did a YouTube review of Evolution that's on Around the Ring OK's YouTube channel. We don't use it much. And, of course, just like Indie Wrestling Radio, we are on thechairshot.com.
Absolutely, my friend. Well, Floyd, as always, enjoyed doing the show with you. To everyone out there listening, Floyd and I will be back tomorrow morning to review yesterday's Raw and tonight's SmackDown, and to talk about anything and everything else wrestling related. So thank y'all for tuning in, and for Floyd and myself, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do